morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Grace Hour. We've had a great holiday week so far. The 4th of July was in the middle of our week, so it's been an interesting week. I'm sure you've had some time off, hopefully. And we're here in the Grace Hour, and we're here to talk about heaven. Maybe this week has seemed like heaven to you, or heaven on earth. I don't know. I'm your host, Pastor Ronaldo Brown. I'm here with Pastor Jason Moore, and we're talking about heaven this week. Heaven, and we'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call during the program. Talk to us with your questions and comments about heaven at 1-800-338-7060 internationally or locally at 410-483-3700. We'd also love to read your emails and your questions at questions@gracehour.org. You can also type into Facebook. You can type into Yahoo, YouTube as well, and you can communicate with us and let us know. And hopefully you've taken advantage of the opportunity to watch us on various podcasts like Apple, Google, and Spotify, to name a few. We'd love to hear from you today. We're talking about heaven. Pastor Jason, you and I were talking about heaven on Tuesday, and here we are again, still talking about heaven. And here's the question everybody has. What is beautiful? I mean, what really is beauty? Because that seems to be the description for heaven. So what is beautiful?
Well, I just want to say this is like heaven on earth right now, Pastor Ronaldo. I love being with you. This is a great question. I had plenty of coffee this morning, so I had a little disclaimer here.
Well, can't say heaven on earth without saying Pastor Ronaldo.
That's right.
You can't say it.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that to our attention.
It's heaven. Come on now. I'm with him. It's heaven.
All right. Beauty is such an amazing topic, I think. I think our world struggles with that, mm-hmm. and as an image cultural, where people are inundated with images of what is beautiful, what is ugly. I think oftentimes in our own self, we ask ourselves, am I beautiful? But really how we define beauty, I mean, heaven does that for us. It really does.
Wow.
And when you think about beauty, in Revelations 4:11, it says that everything was made for his glory and for God's pleasure. Mm-hmm. So I think glory is one of the most important ways to define beauty. I mean, in our culture, we think shape, we think strength, we think, success, we think an easy life is beautiful. Mm-hmm. But scripture shows us that beauty is very different, mm-hmm. that everyone was made and how they were made, fearfully and wonderfully made, as we read here in Psalm 139, that, but really everyone is made because of, and for the glory of God. So, again, we see that in an image culture, our value system needs to be rethought. Mm-hmm. Okay. Needs to be rethought. And so when we think about heaven, when we look at the description of heaven, when we think about the building materials, our gold, precious stones, pearls, amethysts, all these amazing jewels. And in our value system, in our thought pattern, we value gold so highly, and yes. we're going to be walking on it on streets of gold. We're yes. going to have building materials that are diamonds and all these extravagant things that we hold dear. And God is saying, I am the most beautiful thing of heaven. I am the thing that your craving soul needs. So I guess thinking about beauty is really a big deal. It's much more than just an image.
Yes.
It's much more than just a strength. Again, we see in 1 Peter chapter 3:3-8, that a beautiful and quiet spirit is something incredibly beautiful to God, a gentle spirit.
Interesting.
Right?
Yes.
Beautiful are the feet of them that bring the good news. So technically, we all have beautiful feet if we're evangelizing. Even you, Pastor Ronaldo.
I'm just going to say that all feet were not created equal. And I'll just say that.
But that word beautiful, and I'm just kind of running with that word beauty for a minute, because the word beauty literally means that which gives life or a gracious movement. Mm-hmm. So when you think about heaven and the atmosphere of worship, you think of the glory of God, that's going to be very tangible. We mm-hmm. won't need faith. We'll just simply, everything will be sight. It will reflect the true nature of something beautiful. Because all of us are in fallen bodies, right?
Yes.
We are all flawed.
Yes.
We are inferior to some regard, but to God, he says we are beautiful. And in heaven, I think we're going to see the perfect image mm-hmm. of beauty.
I like what you said, that the most beautiful thing in heaven is God. And God is described as a lot of things, but rarely, if ever, is he described as beautiful.
Hmm.
So it's almost like it's going to be from our viewpoint, from our perspective, God will be beautiful. We could say God is beautiful now, but how much more beautiful will he be from our perspective when our perspective is not corrupted by the human body that we have and the human and the world that we're in? I think there's a term we introduced Tuesday. We borrowed it from calculus for continuity and discontinuity. It's like the way I look at beauty on the earth is based upon a specific mindset, a preference, the way I was raised, what society has reinforced, what culture has reinforced. In many cultures, what would be considered not necessarily attractive in that culture is beautiful. It could be a long nose. It could be facial jewelry. It could be a specific type of music or body that makes you beautiful in that culture. Beauty can be very cultural. Some people say beauty can be iconic. It can be like that's beautiful in any culture. That's not always true. But I think sometimes something is unique is beautiful because it's so unique. I remember just situations overseas, the uniqueness of something was very attractive. Glass, smooth glass was very beautiful because there was nothing like it. You know, there's a bit of intrinsic beauty, right? But I think when we get to heaven, there's going to be a continuity of things that we thought on the earth that said, oh, yeah, that's beautiful. And somehow people have this vision of heaven like it's going to be rural Montana. It's going to be the backwoods of Pennsylvania. It's going to be the Alaskan wilderness. It's going to be rural. And the way you see cities, you see a heavenly city. It's going to there's going to be streets. He doesn't say there's going to be dirt roads and rosewood trees. And I'm sure nature will be there. But for all of us city people, I get the vibe that heaven's going to be city-ish. Gates, walls, roads. I mean, John is kind of describing a bit of development here. We're not going to be in huts and golden huts and in the woods. I just don't get there. So when I think of heaven, I think, okay, there's going to be a continuity of things I know. But then it's going to be a discontinuity of things that are totally unfamiliar. Like it talks about clear gold.
Yes.
I mean, we have gold can be light, but see-through gold. I mean, the continuity that gold is precious. Obviously, God thinks it's precious because he's going to use it to make the streets of gold. But then again, you hear a place, and then you say, but that kind of gold is discontinuous with our view of what is gold. And I think with beauty, there's some things that are beautiful here on the earth that will continue to be beautiful in heaven. But then there's some things that are going to be beautiful in heaven that are not beautiful on the earth, which is what you were alluding to.
Yeah.
I mean, also, the Bible doesn't really describe God is beautiful in heaven when we get there. We describe him, but the Bible doesn't describe him that way. I mean, you could argue that a little bit, but also it doesn't say we're going to be beautiful. The Bible doesn't describe us as being beautiful. It says we'll have perfect bodies, but is that perfection beautiful? You and I would say it's beautiful now, right? Because we think perfection is beautiful, but I don't know if it's going to be the kind of beauty that we think about when we get to heaven. I mean, I might look at you in a perfect body, and that could be normal. You in a perfect body in Baltimore, Maryland is far from normal. It's altogether lovely. So, but
hey, thanks, Pastor.
Yeah, you know what? I got to get the plugs in. So, but when you go to heaven, there's going to be perfection, perfectly shaped things that to us here would be cataclysmically beautiful. Wow. I can't. We go to nature now to just watch the different amazing things that God has done in creation. Creation is beautiful, but then that's based upon our perception of beauty.
Yes.
You don't hear Adam and Eve talk much in Genesis chapter 2 and 3 about the beauty of the garden. They don't say anything descriptive really from their personal perspectives at all. Adam tends the garden, but God is the one that said the garden was good. Adam and Eve never said it was good. You don't really start getting to descriptions about the earth being beautiful until you really get later in the Bible, you know, in different parts of the Pentateuch and different parts of the poetic books. That's when the earth gets described in that way. But in the beginning with the patriarchs and with the first people that climb on the earth, they're not describing the earth as beautiful or good or anything. And I'm pretty sure when they came out of the Garden of Eden and they had the, and thorns and thistles, that's the first negative description you really hear about the earth, thorns and thistles, outside of God saying it's good. And by the way, God saying is good, not because it looked good. God saying is good because I did it.
Yes.
So, and I guess we can have that mindset here as believers in our life. What God does in my life is altogether lovely, right? Song of Solomon chapter 3, or he makes everything beautiful in his time in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. So God is making things beautiful in his time. So it's almost like there's a process of beauty versus when you get to heaven, there's no process of beauty. There's just the reality of beauty. And God's going to have to tell us what is beautiful.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to know what's beauty. I mean, we sit here now. Oh, we have this idea. We're going to walk around and start touching streets of gold and putting our hands on gates and wow. And oh, it's good. That's from here. I'm speaking from an earthly perspective. When we put in the new soul bodies and we're in heaven, we're not going to have the same perspective. We're not going to have the same mind. I think if anything, it's more curiosity than the reality of what is beautiful. I think God has got to show us that. So is heaven a beautiful place? Is a great question to ask. And I would say down here on the earth, the way it's described, it sounds beautiful.
Yes.
But when I get to heaven, based upon the theory of continuity and discontinuity, there's things I'm going to see that I'm going to say, I thought would be more beautiful. It's like someone looked at our rain garden and said to me, said, "Hey, I thought it'd be nicer." I said, "Oh, this is nice." I mean, it's like you have this idea, this concept, right? Because it's just a concept.
Exactly.
So when you get to heaven, I mean, there's things that would not be beautiful on the earth that are absolutely amazing in heaven. But all of it's amazing because it's all supernatural, right? There's nothing there you're going to go like, oh, that's just what I thought it would be. Nothing will be the way I thought. So I would say, I would argue if nothing will be the way I thought it would be, objectively speaking, what's beautiful in heaven will not be what I thought it would be. There'll be things that I'll say, that was beautiful, and things that I'll say, well, okay, that's weird looking. Wow. But so what is beauty really? How do you define? I like what you said there when you said the glory of God.
Yes.
So if heaven is the outshining of the work of God, then everything is beautiful. And ugly has no place in the conversation. And I want to also say that maybe the standard of beauty versus ugly doesn't exist in eternity.
Absolutely.
So it's almost like
that's
a word
right.
that doesn't fit when I describe heaven. Because if there's something can be beautiful, then it can be ugly. Right, the seven laws of truth. If it can be one, it can be the other. So if it can be ugly, it could be beautiful. So what's ugly in heaven? Nothing really. So so instead of saying it's beautiful, we can say, and this goes back to people having the ability to understand beauty in heaven. How do you understand that if you're in a perfect body with a perfect mind? So you have God's clarity of what is beautiful. So then you call beautiful in heaven what God calls beautiful from heaven, which means that the things, and you can run through the scriptures, going back to his description of the garden and man, you tend to agree with how God sees things based on what he's made and what he's shown. So when you walk through the scriptures, first mention, full mention, and you talk about, okay, what does God say about what he does? He calls that beautiful. He never calls what man does beautiful. He never calls what happens outside of his will beautiful. So basically, beauty is what God has done and who God, what God has made and who God is. So our ability to think with God will begin to see beauty the same way. So we'll start judging beauty or discerning beauty in heaven based on who God is, his character and nature in heaven, up close and personal, and what he reveals and what he's done. So the streets of gold are beautiful because God did it. It has nothing to do with the way that they look or the way that they function. And by the way, they're going to function so different anyway. I'm going to have a hard time trying to figure out why would he do that? I mean, all my carpenters and masons and contract and lose their mind. But how did they figure out how to make that gate like that with no hinge? How did the gate swing open with no hinge? Things like that. It'll be interesting conversation. But I think our ability to discern will be directly correlated to our connection with God.
Absolutely. I think we, by nature, our natural man devalues the things of God. I mean, just think about comparison. like that person is more beautiful than that person based on a subjective conclusion. Yes. And I like what you're saying, really, the glory of God, it's not necessarily how we value things, but when we're in heaven, we will have no sin, we'll have the mind of Christ, and then we'll be able to see things as they really are. Mm. So when you think about beauty, it's perfect, nothing inferior, no defects, mm-hmm. You know, comparatively, in Proverbs 11:32, this is an interesting verse. It says, actually, let's read it, talking about an earring in a pig's nose, mm-hmm. right? We say, oh, the ring is beautiful, but the pig is ugly. It's like right. the same principle. It's like you wouldn't put those two things together.
Right.
So when you think about the people of God, when you think about the work of God, when you think about the outcome that God ultimately has, we can say those things are beautiful because God did it. God mm-hmm. did something eternal in me.
Yes.
God has done something eternal. And I think Ephesians 3:20 really helps us there because he'll go beyond what you can even ask or even think. And mm-hmm. this is what heaven's going to blow our minds. It's going to blow our minds on all levels, not only physically, we can't even grasp it. And this is why, yes, I think heaven will be incredibly beautiful based on God's standard and not our own. I mean, Pastor Ronald, yep. I think a lot of people, the person that struggles with anorexia, bulimia, the person that struggles with panic attacks or just self-rejection or just cutting themselves or suicidal thoughts, it's really this idea of, am I significant? Am I beautiful? Am I sure. worth it? Am I of value? And God is screaming through creation in Psalm 19.
Yes.
He is screaming through his pages of the Bible. He is screaming out with everything that is around us that, yes, you are beautiful because I made you for my glory.
Fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah. I think this is an important message today.
Sure.
Maybe someone's thinking, am I beautiful? You know, and the answer is maybe your standard is, not maybe, it is, your standard's way too low. And God's saying, you're my glorious trophy.
That's a good thought. Mm. We'd love to hear from you here on the program. You can call us locally at 410-483-3700 or 1-800-338-7060 internationally. Also, we'd love to hear your questions. Please email to us at questions@gracehour.org, or you can also reach out through YouTube or Facebook. Greet us. Let us know how you're doing. Tell us how you enjoy the program. We'd love to hear from you. I want to go back to what you just said, because I think sometimes I don't want to devalue our ability to assess beauty even in time. Mm. But I believe in 1 Corinthians 15:46, first comes the natural, then comes the spiritual. So the first level of discerning beauty now would be by sight. We go to the Grand Canyon because it looks beautiful. People obviously look at a guy and say, she's beautiful. That guy, okay, he's handsome, but you see beauty, has a beautiful car. Okay. Mm. It's affected by your personal desires. It's affected by your subjectivity. It's affected by cultural and social influences and biases. So what is beautiful, what is not, but it's by sight. And God allows that to a degree. But then the believer in the spirit goes beyond the natural and they begin see things that are beautiful. Like, that's a beautiful sermon. That's a beautiful message. So-and-so has a beautiful life. We start finding a certain spiritual intrinsic value system. Our intrinsic value system is spiritual, so it's no longer based on sight. It goes beyond sight. So now that's not the Grand Canyon is not beautiful, not only because it looks beautiful, but it's beautiful because God made it. Mm. So we're able to ascribe beauty to the things that God has made, things that are connected to his character, things that are connected to his nature. Then the believer can say the holiness of God is beautiful.
Yes.
The believer can say the righteousness of God is beautiful. The believer can say the work of God on the cross was beautiful. I can listen to someone, even you, say something to me from God, and I can say, that's beautiful. It has nothing to do with you as an individual, but beyond the natural, I can speak to the spiritual. Like in Galatians chapter 1, the disciples glorified God in Paul. It was beautiful because God was operational in Paul's life. And when you and I walk in the spirit, our lives reflect a certain nature of the character of God that reveals a certain measure of beauty. It's a beautiful life. You could describe your life as beautiful in Christ. Your life is beautiful in the Holy Spirit, in your spiritual mirror, you will always be beautiful to God, not only on the outside, but on the inside, because of what God is doing in you. Though your body is corrupted, your life is redeemed. So you have a beautiful life. So we, if I'm not careful, like you said, I will evaluate purely by sight.
Yeah.
And by sight, there are too many biases and there are too many idiosyncrasies within cultures to define what is beautiful and what is not. And you get caught up in that trap. That mind trap of what the world says is beautiful or what you say is beautiful. The world is liars and so are you about what is beautiful. Mm. But when we talk about heaven, why is heaven a beautiful place? Heaven's a beautiful, we can name some things. I'm going to do that in a second. We can name some things about heaven that from our perspective is beautiful by sight. But then when you begin to get into the spiritual, you graduate in Colossians 3, 1 through 3. You graduate to thinking with God about what beauty is. God's going to change the way you think about everything, including beauty. So that when you get to heaven, you're going to see things, who God is, his character, his nature, what God has done, what God has said, all the things connected to God. The body of Christ is beautiful because it's connected to God. It's related to God. It becomes that it's good because God did it versus good because it tastes good or it looks good.
Like sushi.
Why, more importantly, I was waiting for you to hear that sushi.
Sushi.
Like, why did Adam and Eve eat the fruit? It looked good to eat.
It looks good.
It seemed good. It was a beauty that was based upon sight.
Yes.
And it was limiting because they couldn't see beyond that. They weren't connected to God to see beyond that. They didn't fellowship with God to see beyond that. Like, okay, this is beautiful. This was made by God, but this was not allowed by God. Mm. And there's some beauty in my life that might be allowed by God, but not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the beauty that we find in heaven is connected to God, and that is for me.
That's an important point. I think we are corrupted by nature. So when you think about peace, perfect peace, that's beautiful.
Yes.
Think about there's nothing lacking. There's a wholeness, right?
Yes.
Isaiah 26 says that those that focus on the Lord will have perfect peace. That's a beautiful thing. That is something that we can only experience to a certain degree. In heaven, we're going to have no limitations, and that's going to be incredible. There'll be nothing to be wanted. We will just be experiencing what we were designed to experience. We think of the Christ described in Revelations 1, 9 through 18. Mm-hmm. He is beautiful, eyes of fire, the face of the countenance of the sun in full strength, hair white as wool. I mean, we see just the description of how beautiful Christ is because it reflects ultimate glory. Maybe I can just mention a couple things here real quick, Pastor. There'll be beautiful mansions in John 10, 1 through 3.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven will be a city built for worship in Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. You mentioned the New Jerusalem. Thinking about that beautiful demonstration of like a bride adorned for her husband.
Yes.
Incredible. All nations and all people will worship Christ and it'll be beautiful. Revelation 7, 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. Heaven will be filled with peace, joy, and praise. Revelation 7, 5, 15 through 17. Jesus will be clothed in white in Revelations 19, 11 through 14. Precious gemstones will adorn heaven in Revelations 21, 9 and 11. In Revelations 21, 21. The tree of life in heaven. Revelations 22, 2, and the light of God in heaven, Christ being the light, Revelations 22, 4 through 5. And I think what we said at the onset of the week is that heaven gives us so much hope.
Yes.
That we're being prepared for this amazing eternity that is going to be beautiful.
I love that.
Incredible.
I love that. That's so good. I mean, I like what you said earlier when you said the we're so limited. When we ask the question, will heaven be beautiful? I am very limited in my response to that. The frailty of my humanity, the corruption of my nature, I'm very, very limited. The revelation of how little God has spoken about it. I have to walk within the realm of what God has said and what God has not said. So there's a lot of limitations to my accuracy on how beautiful heaven will be. So I think I have to be careful that I don't overestimate what I think heaven will be in any area, including beauty. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:12 that we see through a glass darkly, and then we see face to face. So right now we're looking through the veil of limited revelation, the veil of the frailty of man, the veil of the corruption of a culture that surrounds us and muddies the water about how we see beauty. It's shocking the effect that on people's lives now on that same topic. And sometimes we have this idea that when you get to heaven, it's going to be a bunch of Hollywood models walking around, male and female Hollywood. And that's what heaven will look like, because that's what beautiful here. You know, you hear guys' description, you know, in my mansion, I'm going to have, you know, Diet Coke flowing out the fountains and those kind of things. And I'm going to have 14. We get this idea like when God says, you know, in heaven, you can have what you want. It's like he's some big sugar daddy in the sky, and whatever you want in your mansion. You know, I want to have a 17-foot bed and, you know, sleep until noon. All this life that's kind of designed by man. But heaven wasn't designed by man in John 14:1-3. Now, when you read the Quran, you hear about a paradise. That sounds like a place that was designed by man, specifically men. But when you read about heaven, that sounds like something that you and I can't really comprehend its design. You know, it's very, very interesting how that's put together. I think the revelation is limited on purpose. I don't think God is capricious. He's not limiting the revelation because he wants to trick us. He's limiting the revelation because it's hard for us in our state, in our humanity, to comprehend what he's done and what he's going to do. So it's like, I have many things to tell you in John 16:12, but you can't bear them. There's a lot of things about heaven that God is not going to say. And I think he limits his description because we have no capacity for it. Number two, the major descriptions of heaven come through an apostle who's struggling to figure out, with metaphors and similes, struggling to explain what he's looking at. I mean, he's like gobsmacked. He's like, wow, what? You know, when you just start grabbing for things that you do know, when you shove that in there, he's got the face of a man and you just start shoving things in there and it's a flying thing out of a pit and you're just trying to make somebody understand. You know, it's like asking a child, what happened at the age of seven, and he's struggling trying to grab words and put the thing, and it sounds like gibberish almost. But you don't get really a clear picture. 1 Corinthians 13:12 is kind of right, but I believe that the beauty of heaven, number one, will be redefined by God.
Yes.
Number two, it will be completely different from the beauty of, well, I won't say completely different, I'm going to use that word again. There'll be continuity and discontinuity in it, meaning there'll be things that I can look at and say, okay, that was beautiful on the earth. It's even more beautiful in heaven. And then there'll be things that I would never have thought were beautiful, but are completely beautiful to God. And by the way, I'll agree. That's the great part. I'll agree with God in heaven that, yes, it is beautiful. But on the earth, maybe I'm like, you know, God, I don't know if suffering is beautiful so much. I don't know. So there's some things where I, in my faith, I have to faithfully believe in God that what he says is beautiful is beautiful. But for me, when I get to heaven, I'll be a complete agreement. And then I think also beauty in heaven will be not rare. I think it'll be common. So three things. Number one, I think God's going to redefine it. Number two, there's going to be a bit of continuity and discontinuity with it. Number three, I think it's not going to be rare. One of the attributes of beauty in time and on the earth is that beauty is rare. But in heaven, if God has made everything and everything God makes is beautiful, and you agree with God's mind in heaven about heaven and about what he makes, nothing is not beautiful. Every aspect of heaven will be beautiful, which means it'll be regular. So there'll be things that are beautiful that you don't even discern is beautiful. It's just normal. It's kind of like miracles. Our perspective of God is when he does something, oh my gosh, it's a miracle. God's like, that's just what I do. Everything I do is like that. In other words, there's nothing, everything he does is miraculous. So the word miraculous doesn't fit really for what God does. We have to use miraculous to separate different things from what God is doing. But God is like everything. I make birds to fly. I make cows to give birth. I make the sun to rise. What am I doing that's not supernatural? What am I doing that's not miraculous? You can almost get familiar. And maybe in heaven, I'll be familiar with I'll be familiar with beauty because I can't differentiate anymore. And with that, let's take a comment from our call-in liners. Brian, are you ready? Hi, Brian. Welcome. You're on the Grace Hour.
Yes, hi, pastors. I like the beauty of heaven that you guys were talking about. And it reminded me of Zechariah chapter 3, where the priest had dirty garments on. And
yes,
the angel said to change the garments. And so, and we have the robe of righteousness that Christ gives us. And so I love the fact that God wants us to see us as he sees us.
Yes.
Already beautiful in new garments in Christ Jesus.
Beautiful comment, Brian. I like that. I like the way you said that we see beauty through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And I actually think, I mean, what God does, 1 Corinthians 5:5, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, that God is preparing us to change our way that we see beauty here in time for what will happen in eternity.
Exactly.
So in some respects, Brian, what you're saying is exactly right, that God is training me to see beauty through the eyes of God. That's why the body of Christ is beautiful. Your life is beautiful, Brian. My life is beautiful. Our lives are beautiful in Christ when we see ourselves through the eyes of God.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you for the comment, Pastor. I appreciate it.
Today. Amen, sir. Thank you for calling the Grace Hour. Talk to you soon.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I mean, I think Aretha nails it. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, those things that God has prepared for them that love him.
Wow.
I think, you know, again, we're trying to bring an infinite God into our measured understanding. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where, and I think you just said it, or Brian just said it, it's like God's value or definition of beauty is so much greater. And I think, again, we're devaluing or we're familiar with who God is when we base things that are on our own understanding. I mean, think about space, for instance. I'm always amazed at space. Mm-hmm. It seems infinite. It's incredible, stars and galaxies and black holes and all of the amazing things that the Hubble and this new telescope has now brought to our minds and our eyes. So, but God is saying, I am so much greater. And I think when we can have our value system changed and no longer devalue, like you'd mentioned, suffering, or to devalue a situation that doesn't change or a chronic health problem. To us, it's like, no, that's not beautiful. But what's being produced in us is we are now fitting ourselves into God's mind rather than stuffing an infinite God, which is nearly impossible. It's like trying to put an elephant in a VW bug. You know, it's like it just doesn't work.
Wow. That'd be fun to try, though.
I mean, this is the beauty. God is constantly personally expanding us. I love this idea of the glory of God is in Psalm 96, Psalm 33, like we've mentioned before. It is infinite. It is immeasurable. It is indescribable, right?
Which is interesting that you bring that up, and you brought up in your first comments, because that's more descriptive of God than beauty. Mm. That beauty kind of limits him. Glory kind of expresses all of who he is, outshining of his character and nature. When you talk about the glory of God, it is an expression, an outshining of who he is and all he is. And beauty, you kind of get it almost like an aspect. It's almost like a character trait. In our conversation, in our life, beauty is a character trait, but it's not an expression of a full character. Someone can be a beautiful jerk. Someone can be, so they're beautiful, but they're a jerk. You know, so when you put beauty on God, you're really talking about the things of God, about sight. But I like how God repositions our thinking. There's nothing more attractive spiritually than an organized mind. God organizes my mind to think and see things the way he does. Mm. So something is beautiful because God's in it. God made it. God's glorified through it. God's revealing it. That's beautiful. And God is training us here on the earth to think that way, because in heaven, we will always think that way. In heaven, we will only see beauty the way God sees it. So heaven is a beautiful place because of it's the way we see it. And we see it through Christ. I think that's the key. Because otherwise, if I ask the question, is heaven a beautiful place? Well, compared to what other places? I mean, it's also compared to my subjectivity. Like I said earlier, there's a group of believers running around and they have this idea that heaven's going to be in rural Nevada, or they're going to be in upstate New York, or they're going to be in the backwoods of Virginia with pine trees and a log cabin and, you know, and angels fluttering around your front cabin door and bears.
That doesn't sound too bad, by the way.
That's exactly my point. See, that's my point. I'll just say, from an inner city guy from Chicago, I'm not so sure that that's going to be heaven. Well, then you see a guy. But
wide
but,
open spaces. That's, absolutely.
You know what? I want some space between your I want something between your mansion and mine, because mine,
a concrete jungle.
I'll say it again: walls, gates, and streets.
You don't like camping past.
You don't put streets in the woods, so I thought put that out there. So I'm just gonna help you out right now. Is heaven beautiful? Yes, because there's streets. What's interesting is you got trees and streets. So you got a bit of nature, and you got a bit of the city. You got gates. You got up and down. Somehow you have the New Jerusalem hovering over the new heaven and the new earth.
Rivers.
I mean, you got a lot of. That's the continuity. There's a lot of continuity of things we have now that will be perfected in heaven. And then there's discontinuity, like see-through floors. Okay, that's a crystal sea. That's a bit much. You're going to have squared off perfect.
Yeah, I wonder if you can go fishing in that.
Well, that would pretend that you'd have to eat. And I don't know whether we'll be eating or not.
Oh, we got to definitely eat.
Well, you have to take it up with God.
Marriage supper right there. We got to eat.
That's a great question. It doesn't suggest, first of all, God's not giving any kind of manna. But then again, you have to question, does man even need to eat?
Right, right. Probably not, but it sounds like
in
a good idea.
In or out, I think we're gold. I think we're all set. I don't know if there'll be any heavenly bathrooms. I'm pretty sure there's not going to be any heavenly bathrooms. Heavenly plumbing? Imagine you get an angel as your plumber. Is it that?
All right, you took it there. That's
got to go there.
Roto-Rooter.
There you go. Angels with a hat on. Oh. You never know. There won't be guardian angels. You won't have a guardian angel in heaven, so you'll be on your own pretty much. There's a lot of things about heaven as far as marriage, as far as friends. There seems to be something about you, which goes back to the continuity and discontinuity. Something about you will let people know who knew you that that's you.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't
it? But we don't know what that is. You could say you'll look like yourself. I think that's a bit presumptuous, because if you've got a new heaven and new earth and your new body, what part about you? Well, have you lost weight, Tim? Well, your face looks perfect now. You were kind of chubby on the earth. So I don't know how you're going to be able to do that. Once again, this is something that God's going to have to help us with. But having said that, I think there's going to be some resemblance.
Yes.
Like, Peter at the Mount Transfiguration, he recognized Elijah. He recognized Moses. He recognized those people. Something about them that he could recognize them. Though what's so funny is he never lived with them. Mm. He never was in their era, but he looked at them and saw them, said, that's Moses. Didn't know that. So that's one thing. Elizabeth Hogue asked me, is feeding your question, could we fish in the Crystal Sea? Now, you know, the Crystal Sea is kind of like a floor, so the fish might be trapped in there, Elizabeth. I don't know. But that's a good question. I think the word "sea" there is a very, very strong metaphor. But I wonder, will we hunt? All you hunters out there, are you hunting and fishing? I don't know. I'm not even sure we're going to be eating, to be honest with you. But there seems to be some kind of refreshment. How that works out, I don't know. But I want to stick with our thought this morning, about beauty, because I like the lesson it teaches us today.
Yes.
God, the thing about prophecy is there's something for me today and tomorrow. There's a double application. In some terms, it's even a triple application, and it's always progressive, where my first one leads me into the second. So there's things that God is showing me about beauty concerning heaven now in time that impact my life now in time and my vision and my hope for the future. And if I can begin to think with God in the spirit by faith and see things as beautiful based upon how God sees, suddenly my life becomes very, very attractive. My life becomes very, very beautiful. I don't get caught up in the ugly. In Romans 16:19, I become wise to the good and simple to the evil. I don't get caught up in what is beautiful. I just see it as beautiful because God is in it. I can see the body of Christ is beautiful. I can see my job is beautiful because God is in it. I can see my marriage is beautiful because God is in it. I can see my calling from God is beautiful because God is in it. I can see this sin-sick world is beautiful because God is working in it. God has not wiped his hand and walked away from the earth. It's darkness and sin in the world, but God has not walked away from that. He finds it beautiful. Maybe not beautiful as we would like to think heaven is, because heaven's perfect, but the beauty in heaven is on the earth connected to who God is and his character and nature. We've got a taste
of it. Excellent. Yeah. Pastor, I just want to read these verses. Maybe it'll help our listeners. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3, who adorning, let it not be that of the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God has great price. So, of course, 1 Samuel 16 also tells us that man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside. He looks at the heart. So a spirit, a meek and quiet spirit, is beautiful to God.
Yes.
It is something that reflects him. And I think that's what we're saying today. Beauty,
yes.
Beauty is what reflects him, like a precious little baby reflects him. You know, a creation reflects him. And again, we've been saying this, and I think it bears repeating, we don't want to devalue based on our preference because we're flawed, corrupted. But in heaven, it'll be something that'll be perfect, no inferior. There'll be no spot on our love feast, right?
Yes.
Jude talks about how there's always some sort of corruption. There's always a fly in the ointment, right?
Sure.
It's like, but God is conditioning us that, you know, we've been in a church service and experienced the presence of God. That is beautiful, right? The light of heaven. I think about the light of heaven and the degrees of light. I think you talk about how we'll see each other. And I think one of the variables is in Daniel 12 that we will have, in verse 3, degrees of light.
Yes.
Our soul body will be really our spiritual body. How someone that was maybe not known on earth will be known in heaven.
Yes.
Why? Because of their walk of faith on earth.
Yes.
So.
We'll get into that tomorrow. That's a great segue. Tomorrow we're going to get into rewards in heaven. That is important. It's a great program. That's one of the great questions a lot of unbelievers ask us. When I die, is there any kind of rewards in heaven? Tune in tomorrow for tomorrow's program, Rewards in Heaven. Beyond beauty, are there rewards? We'll touch that tomorrow, actually, on our last program concerning heaven. A great, great week, great, great topic talking about heaven. I like what you said about how degrees of glory in Daniel 12:3. I mean, there's some guys that you might be bright on the earth and they might be a night light in heaven. And there's some people that, might just be a small match on the earth. And in heaven, you have to kind of put on spiritual shades to look at them. They're so bright. You don't know. Once again, our system of evaluation is based on us. We're growing in capacity progressively in having God's value system and God's evaluation system. So when we use the word beauty, it's got to come from that place. It's got to come from a place of spiritual authority and spiritual decision where God decides what is beautiful about in my life and God is not. And I really believe the term beautiful will be useless in heaven because everything is going to be beautiful. There's nothing not beautiful. So how can you differentiate? I don't know if you can differentiate. I think we can differentiate now. There's a lot
that's
of ugly
a good
in the
point.
World.
That's but a great
in,
point.
But in heaven, where does that fit? You know, that's like, where's the word special fit? I mean, really, you just run out of words. Before we go off the program, Elizabeth asked a great question. And will we be in the fullness of God at that time in heaven? I would say yes, based on 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, when we see him, we'll be like him. There'll be the fullness of God. At that point, yes, I would say completely. Without limitation, without flaw, without blemish, complete in that way. Yes, that what they would call in theology, ultimate salvation.
Yes.
That's what that would be. So thank you for listening to the program today. Thank you so much. It's been great being on the program talking about beautiful heaven. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that is the beautiful decision. That is an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Put your faith and confidence in with him. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to see you at 6025 Arabia Park Drive, Sunday morning, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and also 6:30 on Sunday and 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Thank you, God bless, and have a heavenly day. Bye.